Good morning and welcome to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp here in studio with my wife Jean. We're from Brandywine Flags and the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. And our guest today is Bob Haley. And Bob is from Vitas Healthcare here in Philadelphia. He is the veteran liaison for Vitas, former Marine. Well, not former. He is a Marine, no longer active. But welcome, Bob, to the show.
Thank you.
And Bob's going to tell us about the program that Vitas has for the veteran community for hospice and end-of-life care. So, Bob, why don't you bring us up to speed on where you are with that?
Sure, absolutely. Well, with Vitas, we are a hospice provider, and what hospice is really an end-of-life care option that places patients in control of their care when they have diagnosed with a terminal condition and have 6 months or less to live. What I do is I run the veterans program here at Vitas, and that is geared towards taking care of veterans at end of life. We have a tailored health care that's provided to their unique needs. As we know, our veterans are a little bit different than your regular individual. Our service time dictates who we really become as a adult, and it carries with us through life. So the experiences, the service, all that, the culture of the military dictates who we become and who we are. And so is at the end of life, when a lot of things may resurface that were never addressed. So what our program is geared to do is to not only honor and respect those individuals for their sacrifices, but to really give them the tailored health care that they're entitled to.
So this is local to Philadelphia. However, you do include, five county?
Five counties. We work with all the VAs in the area, so everything from the Wilmington VA to the home in Del Valle up in the northeast, all the way out to Spring City and Pottstown, so everywhere in between.
Okay, and then also Vitas is national in scope, so that this particular program is available also across the country, so that if we have listeners that perhaps have parents or relatives or friends that live in Phoenix or some other location, they could also take advantage of this on a national scope.
That is absolutely right. Correct.
Okay. And with this, how did you get involved? Your background, your military, so how did you get involved with this, and how did the program develop?
The program developed in 2004 when Vitas noticed a large amount of World War II veterans. At that point in time, it was averaging about 1,000 to 1,100 individuals were passing away every day. And they noticed the impact and the different types of care that they required when it came to end of life. And they said, we need to do something to not only pay respects and honor these individuals on their last days, but we really have an opportunity here to provide them with the health care that they need.
And that they deserve.
And they deserve, mm-hmm. Correct, absolutely right. So what they decided to do was create this veterans program where it's including benefits assistance. You know, there's burial and funeral benefits that go along that a lot of people don't know they're entitled to, and especially the families don't know. Getting your DD-214, that's a big thing because whether you know it or not, you know, you may not be able to get those funeral services without that. So family members don't know even what it looks like, let alone how to get it, along with the care itself being done by veterans. So we have a medical director who is also prior service, aides, nurses, and the most important part, the veteran volunteers. They really do a great service for us, a peer-to-peer, veteran-to-veteran, spending quality time with these individuals, hearing their life review, making them feel at ease, and having somebody who gets it and understands it carries so much weight within the veteran community. How I got involved in was I had a recruiter call me, said, hey, I saw your profile online. Would you like to speak about a position? I said, tell me a little bit more. And when he mentioned it was with veterans, of course, my ears peaked. So there was, I said, well, let me get the interview and see what I can do. And they went in and explained the situation and how I can be really hands-on and help my brothers and sisters who served. And that wins it right there every time.
Very good. How many, you say that you started back in 2006. How's the program grown? How many people do we have involved now as far as the number of veterans that you're currently serving?
Yeah, I mean, just for the Philadelphia program, we average 25% of our census are veterans or more at some points in time. So from here in the Philadelphia program, we have really started in the Philadelphia area and going into Delaware County and the Chester County, Montgomery County, and Bucks and Berks even. So it's in the last, at least since I've been here in the last 14 months, we've really grown it in every county.
Now, how can somebody get a hold of your group, or if they need help, how do they contact you?
Yeah, they can call our number 215-542-3000, or they can visit our website www.vitas.com. That's VITAS.com, and even on there you'll be able to see information on the veterans program as well.
Wonderful.
You were saying that the needs of a veteran are different from the needs of a non-veteran. How explain that to our audience on how that differs?
Sure. Especially when it comes to the end of life, especially for our combat veterans, a lot of things that were not addressed when they got out, for example, survivor's guilt or PTSD, tend to resurface. When our subconscious becomes our conscious, we no longer control that. That is it can be pretty frightening for individuals who are not used to experiencing that or trained to handle that. And that's what we're here to do. That's what we do best. And that's one of the major factors that we have that differ from everybody else.
Now, explain again what hospice. I'm not, or hospice rather. I'm not really familiar with. Is that in home hospice? Is there a visiting nurse type of an application, or is this in a VITAS facility? Are there multiple facilities? How wide is the scope of the offering that you have?
Absolutely. That's the one myth I think a lot of people have, that hospice is not a place. Hospice is where you are. And that's what we do. We bring the care to where you feel the most comfortable. Now, a lot of our 4 out of 5 of every patients we have are at home. So it comes with the doctor, the nurse, the social worker, chaplain, volunteers, myself, a whole team supporting that one individual and their family. It could also mean that some individuals just don't want to be at home, so they would like to be in one of our inpatient units, which we have throughout the area, and they can go there. It's a hospital setting with a comfortable, relaxing feeling to it as well. So families are welcome to stay, live, sleep, and some people just prefer that atmosphere over being at home. So if you're living in a nursing home, or if you're living in the VA, or you're living, in a hospital, we take it to you.
Now, is this covered by insurance, or who pays for this?
Hospice is reimbursed by Medicaid, Medicare, private insurance. Some individuals actually pay out of their own pocket, and the VA covers 100% of hospice care.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow. So this is something that all veterans should at least be aware of, because it's available and affordable to everyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is a free benefit that if you take advantage of early enough, you will really truly see the benefits of having a full team of individuals coming in and out of your life and really providing you a quality of life that may actually extend, 30 or 40 days longer than not using it. Maybe get you to that birthday or that holiday that you want to see one more time.
So that end of life, if we're looking at end of life, I mean, you have a terminal illness, and death is imminent. Is there also a program whereby someone is just really troubled mentally, that it extends beyond that, or does it have to be an end of life that you have to be determined that you will not live beyond a certain time frame? At what point do you enter the picture, I guess, is my question.
Yeah, and that's the requirement, and it's always evaluated by our medical team, as well as your primary doctor, whoever that may be. The conversation between the two of them takes place, and they'll assess you and look at you and say, with the signs that we're seeing now, it looks like you have about 6 months or less to live, and that's where we come in.
Okay.
What is palliative care?
Palliative care is basically born out of hospice, and it's measures to it's pretty much just like hospice, except that you can still receive aggressive treatment while on palliative care.
Okay.
And what is the role that you play as? What is a veteran liaison?
The veteran liaison has many hats. So I may be going out into the community doing community work, outreach. I'm working with tandem with the federal government agencies, one being the VA, as well as your veteran service officers, and everything that, any kind of government official throughout the county. I do a lot of benefits assistance, which is like a social worker. And then a lot of it's just quality time, where you can be sitting with your veterans and hearing their life review and helping them come at ease with some of the things that they've had.
So you as a veteran can show a connection. You've been there, so that you do have the level of communication that the normal non-veteran would not have. You can talk one-on-one with them because you've been there, did that, and you're on board with that.
Sure. Having that connection, especially when it comes to providing them with care, is important.
It's all the difference in the world,
exactly.
I'm sure.
Yeah, you earn trust and respect.
Okay, very good. We're going to be taking a break now, and we'll be back on the other side, and we'll continue the conversation.
The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, so we can stand in the evil day. Let me ask you, are you standing strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network, agreeing with the Apostle Paul that when the days are evil, we need God's armor. To modern culture, right is wrong and wrong is right. Good is evil and evil is good. The war against God, the truth, and God's people was started by the devil and is in full swing. The Bible tells us that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will be targeted and will suffer persecution in the spiritual war. So what must we do? Put on the whole armor of God. Imagine, God designed armor to help us in the spiritual battle and available to us. In the next few weeks, we'll look at this armor of God and what it's for and why we'd better put it on. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, did you put on God's armor today? Are you even in the battle?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people. Didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country's the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
My name is Nancy Becker, and I am your Recorder of Deeds here in Montgomery County. It's very important for the veterans to be aware that they should record their DD-214 or military discharge in the Recorder of Deeds office. This is important because when a veteran passes, the funeral director will usually contact the Recorder of Deeds office so that they can arrange for a military funeral. And this relieves the burden of family members of trying to find this very important document. But the most important reason is that we are now issuing a veteran's photo ID card that entitles the veterans to discounts and incentives from nearly 400 businesses here in Montgomery County. All the veteran has to do is come into the Recorder of Deeds office at 1 Montgomery Plaza in Norristown. Parking is always free for our veterans. You just come into the parking garage and tell them you're a veteran and you can park free of charge. Bring along your DD-214 and a photo ID. We'll issue you the veteran's photo ID, give you a list of the businesses that start participating. It takes about 10-15 minutes at the most, and this way you will be receiving these discounts. The incentive for the business to do this is we advertise your business free of charge. My website gets about 1,000 hits a week, so the potential for over 1,000 people of seeing your business is there. Also, every veteran gets a list of all the businesses participating. They get it when they come into the office, and we email them to them every 3 to 4 weeks so that the veteran is aware of the new businesses we have. Veterans of Montgomery County, please come into our office. It would be my honor to shake your hand and thank you for your service to our country.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp here in studio with my wife, Jean. We're from Brandywine Flags in the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. And our guest today is Bob Haley from VITAS. And we're talking about hospice and end-of-life care. Bob, tell us exactly what is the hospice application and how do we know when to involve hospice?
That's a good question because a lot of people really don't know and are afraid to even mention hospice a lot of times to a loved one. But what you're going to, you know, when it's time to approach that conversation, there's usually signs of decline, lack of appetite, things of like that that you'll start to see in your loved one. Also, your doctor will most likely have a real understanding of the decline and see that in the charts and will probably bring that conversation to the family first before a family starts thinking hospice. That's usually where the conversation starts. But as you're with your loved one, you start to see signs of not being able to take care of themselves and losing weight and the appetite is decreasing. But if they have a terminal illness, that's usually the first sign. You know, I have 6 months or less and there's really not much we can do. That usually sparks the hospice conversation.
Yeah, because I'm sure that there's an area of denial where hospice means the end is near, mm-hmm. and you want to delay hospice as long as possible. Like you were saying, you bring them in for like 6 months prior to. I always thought that hospice would be like the last 2 weeks or something, but that's not really the case. That's not what we're looking to do, is it?
That is exactly right. It doesn't mean that you're giving up. What it really the team that we have, the medical team. Of hospice professionals do a great deal of controlling pain, anxiety, all of those issues and keep you at peace, whether it be medical, spiritual, or emotional. And the team consists of medical director, who's the doctor, chaplains, and social workers, music therapists, pet therapy, our volunteers, like I mentioned before, with a wide range of all the programs that we have supporting the individual wherever they may be living.
So as far as the doctor is concerned, does the individual give up his doctor? Does a new doctor come in? How does all that transition occur?
That's a great question. The doctor you do not have to give up your doctor. Your doctor can stay as your attending doctor and follow you through the entire process and work in conjunction with our medical team. So the communication lines will be open. You'll have actually two doctors.
So does then VITAS communicate with the doctor so that it's now an expanded medical team that the individual family does not have to concern themselves with? They're just entering into an additional area of coverage, if you will, for the individual that we're caring for. And it just goes beyond the scope of what the normal doctor would do. I mean, the normal doctor is going to see you in his office and he's going to prescribe medication, whatever. But now you have additional help and home care, what have you. And what kind of care do you actually provide? I'm thinking in terms of here's an elderly couple and there's an individual, is now in need of hospice care and his wife is perhaps not capable of handling the day-to-day chores. Is it beyond? Is there help available then for the
service,
the caregiver that is currently living in the home? What is the scope of the care that's available?
Sure. Besides the medical side, we do have caregiver support, and the main thing is, like you said, the caregiver. Maybe struggling to bathe and wash and dress their loved one. That's what the aides are there to do. As far as doing any kind of household chores, that's not really in the scope of the hospice benefit. But what we can do is work hand-in-hand with the VA, who does offer home health services, and you're eligible for a certain amount of hours of home health while you are on our service as well. So between the VA and myself, and we actually partner with several home health agencies as well. If you know somebody or a local business that you'd like to use them, we work with them as well.
So this is a tremendous resource that so often you're into a situation like this, you're overwhelmed. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. You know that you want to take care of someone, and you're no longer capable of doing that physically or emotionally or spiritually, what have you. And now there is a resource that can come in and work with you and kind of walk you through this path.
Sure. And having someone to turn to and answer your questions is a huge component of that. Using your social workers, using myself, your veteran liaison, whoever is partnering part of that team, and say, hey, listen, you know, I'm struggling with this. Where would you go? Who would you call? What do I do? And having that support there constantly, and someone who's thinking a little bit more clearly because they're not panicked with, you know, the situation upon them.
Yeah, because like I say, things like this become overwhelming, especially in times like this where you're emotionally distraught because of a loved one. You're seeing them deteriorate, and then there's help available, and you can make this journey a lot easier for everyone and a lot more pleasant. Than it has, you know, than it currently may be, that you can take away a lot of the stress and a lot of the uncertainty as we get to that point.
Providing a quality of life for as long as we can. And studies have shown that by being on hospice earlier, you can actually extend the individual's life by 35 to 40 days longer.
So, again, going back, how do we know when? You said about loss of appetite, loss of weight or whatever. Is there a point where hospice would say, oh no, it's too early, we won't come in for another month or 2 months or whatever, or gee, you should have been here last month?
Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes I meet families and you know, they're struggling and they think that their loved one is showing a little bit of decline, and we'll go in and we'll do an assessment, and sometimes the individual is not ready yet, but that doesn't mean we just turn around and walk away. We're still in constant communication with the family and the loved ones, and if we have to assess that individual weekly, we'll do that. If we, you know, just to make sure that we're always going to be there, and when they're actually eligible, we'll move forward and do that.
So the services that are available then would be one where, whenever they contact you, you're there and you're on deck. That it may be just a phone call once a week or a visit once a month to say, hey, here we are.
Sure. And a lot of the work that I do, even amongst the veteran community, is with veterans who are not on hospice. You know, just because you're not on our service doesn't mean that I can't help out a fellow brother or sister, whether it's with where do I get my discharge paper or, hey, I lost a medal, I'd like to get it reawarded. You know, what's available to me as far as benefits.
How do you reach out to the community with your services? In other words, how do you advertise these services? How do veterans find out about this?
Well, the best way I find out is by actually getting involved and partnering with veteran organizations, the Marine Corps Leagues, VFWs, American Legions, any type of veteran organization I'm going to try and partner with. And then, you know, they'll get to know what I'm doing and what I'm up to, as well as being able to support their cause as well.
And then they know their members that would be in need of your service, and then they put you in contact with them?
Sure.
Put them
yeah,
in
absolutely.
Contact
and a lot of them even want to become veteran volunteers.
Oh, that's great.
So with this, what you're saying is that you don't have to be partaking of the services of VITAS. You can reach out to any veteran that has an issue, and you can partner with them as kind of the liaison, and you can partner with them as a resource prior to, so that in a year or two or five or whenever, or somebody in the family finds out that there's a need, they'll contact you, so that you now become a non-VITAS hospice liaison, if you will.
A veteran liaison.
You're a veteran liaison, right.
Right. So, what better way to earn trust and build respect amongst the community than actually being there through every day, every weekend, and 24 hours a day, not just on Veterans Day?
This is really great, because there are so few times. It drives me crazy when you make a phone call and the next thing you know, you got to push one for English and you got to push two for this question. And
right.
It's like, I don't have my question isn't listed in this multitude of nine different numbers that I can press. So they can actually call you, talk with you. You come out and sit down with them and say, hey, this is the services that we have available, and I can help you in a lot of different areas. Use me as a resource.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
I think that's wonderful. Our veterans today don't get nearly the help and the services that they have earned and that they deserve. And I think it's just wonderful that you guys are reaching out to everyone and providing this care, this necessary service and assistance to our precious veterans.
And you had mentioned that 25% of the population really is in the veteran side of VITAS. How many people are we talking about here? How many people can you serve in the local community?
Hundreds. I mean, it fluctuates, obviously, our the nature of our business. But throughout the Philadelphia area, it's hundreds of people every day.
And you're saying also that there are veteran volunteers. What is a veteran volunteer, and how does someone become active as a veteran volunteer?
Yeah, a veteran volunteer, they can call me through the 215 number. I'll give it to you again. But they do a lot of real good quality time with the veterans who are on our service. They'll also come out in community events when I do a Memorial Day event or a Flag Day event where we're going to fold flags with the DAV and talk about the meaning of each fold and things like that. So they'll be able to do a lot of hands-on, get to meet these veterans, hear their stories, and really just spend the quality time that these veterans are looking to share with their fellow veterans.
So as a veteran, our listening audience, anyone that is a veteran can become a veteran volunteer.
Absolutely.
And then they can work within their own organization, whether it be the Marine Corps League or American Legion, what have you, or you will then provide kind of a list of avenues that they can pursue and do a little training on this, I would assume?
Absolutely. We have a whole veterans program, or we have a whole volunteer program with a volunteer manager, and there is a little bit of training involved because it's not something that people are familiar with as, hospice and end-of-life care. So he wants to make sure that it's professionally done and that you are prepared to go into somebody's home and do like this type of work. And we stick our volunteers to whatever need you may want. Some people are okay with going into homes. Some people are not.
One of the things that I love about owning Brandywine Flags is I get to talk to so many veterans every year. And one of the things that I find that they need is they love to vent, and they don't necessarily like to talk about the war itself, per se, but that they've been in if they've been a combat veteran. But they like to talk, and they like to be recognized and appreciated.
We're proud of our service, and we want to share that.
Yeah, because we always say we do not have a better country because of our veterans. It's because of our veterans that we have a country. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be back on the other side, continue the conversation, and we'll see you backside.
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
One, two, three.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
If you like Car Talk, Catch Under the Hood, Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7. Exclusively streaming on 1180WFYL.com. Worldwide on your computer or mobile device. Stream Under the Hood this Saturday morning from 6 to 7 at 1180WFYL.com or on your favorite mobile device. Go to our website at 1180WFYL.com to find out more.
Hi, friends. Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp here in studio with my wife, Jean. We're from Brandywine Flags, the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. And our guest is Bob Haley from VITAS. And we're talking about the services that are available. How does someone, how does a veteran or a veteran's family find you? And how do they find the resource of these services?
Well, one way to do it is you could obviously just call our number at 215-542-3000. If you'd like to come out and do a lot of the work that I'm doing, you'll mostly find me in your local senior centers. I partner with all the ones throughout the area, and they want nothing more than to honor and respect their veterans that are in the community and bring more veterans into their facility. So, for example, on Wednesday, June 10th, we're having the Veterans Expo at the Harleysville Senior Center. And at this center, it's going to be three different departments from your VA, your veteran service officer, the recorder of deeds, who's going to be doing the discount ID program. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but they have an ID that they will print out and allow you to have discounts at perhaps maybe 400 or 500 local businesses in the area. All you need is your DD-214 or a copy of it.
Actually, we had Nancy Becker on several times,
okay.
The Recorder of Deeds, and you just go to the Recorder of Deeds office at your county, whether it be Chester County or Montgomery County, wherever you are,
mm-hmm.
and by identifying yourself as a veteran, the Recorder of Deeds will issue an ID card, and they will then give you the listing of all those companies that provide discounts to you as a veteran, and they're updating these all the time.
And they make a copy of your DD-214 and register that with the county, is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So that the services that are available through the county are also then known as a result of that. So we encourage people to register with the Recorder of Deeds, and so that those folks will also be at the expo.
Yeah, they will be there as well. And registering with the Recorder of Deeds is a great way to always assure that you will find a copy. You move, gets put in a basement, you may lose it. That it's always going to be there.
Yeah, I think that the fact that you're reaching out in a proactive way is excellent, because I think when people hear the word hospice, they recoil in terror, thinking, I don't want to go there. I don't want to even talk about that. I'm in denial because that means the end is here. Mm-hmm. And we're not at that point. What you're saying is that you have resources available that can help people guide through normal problems of life right now in the aging years. And hospice is something that's available down the road, and at least your company will know of their needs, and they will know of you, so that there is now a communication that's been opened, but doesn't necessarily mean that, wow, we're going to come in and you're going to die in short order. It's a resource that's available in advance of any problems that may be in the future.
Sure. What better ways to dispel the myths of hospice than to actually know who your local hospice rep is and be friends with them and see them as a resource?
Yeah. You know, looking at this in the veteran community, today, Saturday, is June the 6th. June the 6th, 1944, was D-Day. So this is the 71st anniversary of D-Day. What an incredible day that we have to think about. It's so upsetting when You talk with college students today, and they don't know who the vice president is, or they don't know who their congressman is, or it's just the level of awareness is frightening. And if you were to say, what is D-Day? They're like, I have no clue. Well, that's the day that the Allied forces actually invaded the European continent at Normandy. And it was just an incredible day. We have June 6, 1944, this being the 71st anniversary. If you want to say thank you to a veteran of World War II, you better do it now, because 71 years, if the guy was 17 at the time, we're looking at 88 years of age. And if he was involved prior to D-Day, we're looking at in the 90s. So it's not like these people are going to be around forever. But I look at D-Day, and the Allied forces included Canada, the freed French forces, the United Kingdom, the United States. And we landed June 6, 1944, in the largest naval presence in the history. We're looking at a total number of troops that landed on that day was around 130,000, maybe as many as 156,000 when you consider all of the ancillary support on that. The total number of casualties, 12,000 on that day. The operation was called Operation Neptune, was the code name for the actual landing itself. The overall program, the overall Operation Overlord was the name of the entire effort. And Eisenhower was the president at the time, and he wasn't sure whether or not this was going to be successful. He got to the point where he wrote two letters to be released to the press, one if it was a failure and one if it was a success. And if it was a failure, he was going to take total responsibility for this. We're looking at a 50-mile-long piece of real estate here, and broken into the code names of five different beaches. We had the Utah Beach, Omaha Beach, Gold, Sword, and Juno. And those beaches, we have customers at the flag store that were on those beaches. We have a customer, his name is Bill Holtz. He fought in five campaigns within all of that area. He fought northern Africa. He then fought in Sicily. He fought all through Italy. He landed on Omaha Beach day one. He fought in the Battle of the Bulge, and he was actually there at the liberation of Dachau. And his initial unit numbered 1,500. And if you take away all those that were killed, captured, wounded, or missing, he was one of five men that were unscathed by that. I met Bill a number of years ago, and he's just, Bill, we thank you for your service, and God bless you, and we wish you the best of health. He's just a wonderful person. And these are the people that you have to reach out to. And these are the people that we're talking about right now for the VITAS program, where we have to reach out to them. When you look at the total number of troops, by the end of the 11th of June, that was D-Day plus 5, there were 326,546 troops that had landed, 54,186 vehicles, 104,428 tons of supplies. By D-Day plus 24, which was June 30th, we had over 850,000 men and 148,000 vehicles. By July 4th, we had over 1 million that had been landed on those beaches. So we're looking at a major effort here. And were it not for men like this, you and I would we'd be speaking German doing the goose step right now. There's just no way that we would have been able to make it through that. We're looking at over 6,939 ships. 1,213 were warships, 4,126 were transport vessels, landing ships, 736 artillery craft, 864 merchant vessels. It's to the point where the beaches at Normandy today are still known by their code names on both maps and signposts. This was an incredible day that led to actually the end of the war. We look at D-Day was June 6th of 44. VE, which is Victory in Europe, was May the 8th of 45. So it took us almost a year before Germany fell and before Europe was actually freed. So we look at the different beaches that were there. You look at Utah Beach. Utah was the westernmost beach. There were thousands of U.S. paratroopers dropped behind enemy lines. This was the beach that was it was added at the 11th hour of the planning, only because they had to secure Cherbourg. There were many men that were actually drowned as they jumped because of the wading down and the flooded fields and what have you. So we're going to be back in a minute. We're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about the remaining four beaches and the significant sacrifice that was made by our men and by our women in that environment. So we'll be back on the other side and continue the conversation.
Hello, this is Paul Fisher, headmaster of Coventry Christian School in Pottstown. I am so pleased that WFYL is a growing part of our community, serving as a voice of reason and a defender of and proponent for all that has made and will make America a great nation. There simply are not enough competing voices and ideas in the media, and we are proud to partner with WFYL in working for your liberty and things that truly matter. Advertising on WFYL has served us well and opened doors of opportunity for expanding our mission in classical Christian education, and the good people at the station have been so kind to help us network as well. I hope you will faithfully tune in to WFYL, share this station with others, and consider how a partnership with your organization or business could strengthen our community and build a stronger America.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180wfyl.com.
My name is Nancy Becker, and I am your recorder of deeds here in Montgomery County. It's very important for the veterans to be aware that they should record their DD-214 or military discharge in the recorder of deeds office. This is important because when a veteran passes, the funeral director will usually contact the recorder of deeds office so that they can arrange for a military funeral. And this relieves the burden of family members of trying to find this very important document. But the most important reason is that we are now issuing a veteran's photo ID card that entitles the veterans to discounts and incentives from nearly 400 businesses here in Montgomery County. All the veteran has to do is come into the Recorder of Deeds office at 1 Montgomery Plaza in Norristown. Parking is always free for our veterans. You just come into the parking garage and tell them you're a veteran, and you can park free of charge. Bring along your DD-214 and a photo ID. We'll issue you the veteran's photo ID, give you a list of the businesses that are participating. It takes about 10-15 minutes at the most, and this way you will be receiving these discounts. The incentive for the business to do this is we advertise your business free of charge. My website gets about 1,000 hits a week, so the potential for over 1,000 people of seeing your business is there. Also, every veteran gets a list of all the businesses participating. They get it when they come into the office, and we email them to them every 3 to 4 weeks so that the veteran is aware of the new businesses we have. Veterans of Montgomery County, please come into our office. It would be my honor to shake your hand and thank you for your service to our country.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp in studio with my wife Jean from Brandywine Flags in the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. And in our last segment, I got into D-Day. Today, June 6th, is the 71st anniversary of D-Day, which was the landing in Normandy of the U.S. and Allied forces. I'd mentioned Utah Beach in the last segment. The other beaches include Omaha Beach, which is probably the most well-known beach. There were roughly 2,400 killed on that beach that morning, either killed, wounded, or missing. It just 2,400 turned up dead. It was just incredible. There were just so many emplacements of the Germans that there was focused right there on the beach at Utah or at Omaha. That was the big problem. We have men that are actually customers of ours that were on that beach. And Gene has asked, how did you get across the beach? And their answer is, I don't know how one person got across the beach. It was just unreal. The Higgins boats were the landing crafts that would actually come in close to the shore and the door would fall down in the front and men would go out. And you have here the pilots of the Higgins boat, nothing worse than the door goes down and all the men are killed right there before they even get out of the boat or they never even get out of the water. And now you got to go back and get more, and you're coming back again. The next beach is Gold Beach, mostly British troops at the Gold Beach. And this was the next one up in there. A lot of artillery bunkers and what have you, concrete in that area. This whole area was called the Atlantic Wall, and Hitler spent 3 years building the Atlantic Wall that went all the way from the north up in the Scandinavia area all the way down in through the whole length, because he knew that there was going to be an invasion coming. He just didn't know where. One of the problems that we had with this was that radar was new, and the Air Force was now going to be bombing all of the beaches. Well, they had all of these ships at sea coming across the English Channel that were close to shore, and because of radar, they weren't really sure where they were. It was overcast, and they delayed dropping their bombs, fearing that they would drop the bombs on the ships. And rather than hitting the beaches, they were hitting 1, 2, 3 miles inland. So much of the defense of Germany was never even touched, and which is one of the problems that they had with that particular area. Juneau Beach was the next one, and the one that was mostly Canadian soldiers. 50% of the leading assault teams were met as casualties in that. So, again, that one was a significant one. And then we look at Sword Beach, and it was about midnight when the British troops actually finished that, and they were able to stop the carnage, if you will. And it was just unreal that they started early in the morning, and it was 7:25, I think, when they first hit it. And that was just, a difficult time. So we look at these veterans, and these are the people, the survivors of this, are what we're trying to reach now. And like I say, if you want to shake a hand and say thank you for your service, do it now, because we're talking about people that are in their 90s that have been through just horrific situations. And it didn't stop there. We're continuing, as I mentioned previously, that we're going all the way on to Berlin, and it was almost a year following the invasion at D-Day. We then get into the Battle of the Bulge. It was just another horrific situation. So, Bob, going back to this whole thing with VITAS, we're trying to reach out to these veterans, to the men and to the women that served and that are now in their 90s, and they need help. They need care. It's difficult for me to navigate some of these things, excuse me, with computers and then the voicemail prompts and what have you. The fact that you're a live person, that you're there, it's just so encouraging that we actually have people that are available to come out and talk with it. You had mentioned that you have the expo. Now, you have one coming up in Phoenixville, I think?
We do. We have an event on Monday. It's going to be at the Phoenixville Senior Center, and the Recorder of Deeds for Chester County, Rick, is going to be out there. And as long as you bring your DD-214, he'll be able to print out one of those photo ID cards that you'll be able to use to get discounts throughout the community. Like we mentioned, maybe 400 or 500 different businesses.
So we should really have all these communities. I guess you're reaching out to the community services and what have you, and all these different organizations. But some may be unaware of you, and you may not know of them. So again, what is your website again?
Yeah, www.vitas.com, VITAS.com. And feel free to give a call to 215-542-3000.
So this is a service that's available. It's affordable because, number one, just to sit down and talk with your representative is not a, a billable expense to you. And if, in fact, you do need to take awareness of the program and actually participate, it's going to be covered by the insurance, whether it be Medicare or the VA benefit, as you had mentioned, covers 100%. So there's no reason not to do this. It's just a stigma in people's minds sometimes that the word hospice is frightening. And we don't want it to be frightening. We want it to be part of the natural progression of our lifespan and how we actually progress through there. So,
why don't you just mention the ride that we were on with the Honor Flight on Saturday? That was a wonderful experience.
I don't know if you're familiar, excuse me, with the term Honor Flight, but Honor Flight started in Wisconsin, and there was a group that thought, gee, you know, we'd like to get a plane of maybe 7 or 8 veterans and fly them into Washington and have them tour the World War II Memorial and just say thank you. So they did a fundraiser, and they raised enough money to fill 2 747s. And the Honor Flight program is now national in scope, and it's a program where you have a veteran and you have a volunteer. So if there are 300 in the group, you have 150 veterans, 150 volunteers, and you are then flown to Washington. You tour 5 locations. You tour the World War II Memorial, the Air Force Memorial. You go to
the Korean Memorial,
the Vietnam Memorial, and you also go to Arlington Cemetery, and then you're flown back. Well, in Philadelphia area, it's so close that you don't fly. You're bussed down to Washington. And Gene and I ride with the Warrior Watch Riders, which is a motorcycle group that escorts veterans back from the theater of engagement or actually to the point of internment, what have you, and sometimes in a celebration. And this past Saturday, we were privileged to ride with a group of the Honor Flight, whereby there was, I guess, 6 or 7 buses that went down to Washington.
So 100 veterans.
100 veterans and then 100 volunteers. And we ended up meeting that group at the welcome station at the Delaware Line on 95. And it was a police escort back to St. Kevin's in Springfield. It was wonderful. There were hundreds of bikes. All the overpasses were decorated with flags and firefighters, and they're all standing at attention, saluting.
There were people along the highways as well, families and just people standing there at salute, watching, you know, as the veterans went by.
Yeah, and as we got to St. Kevin's, there were hundreds and hundreds of people there welcoming these vets. Well, you have no idea what this means to these individuals, both men and women, that as they get off the buses, they now have all these people welcoming them, shaking their hands, saying, thank you for your service. Welcome home, soldier. It was great. That ride, the Veterans Honor Flight, happens twice a year in the Philadelphia area.
Vitas sponsors that the Honor Flights as well, don't they?
That's correct. We are national sponsors of the Honor Flight, and they will actually be attending the expo on June 10th at Harleysville Senior Center.
That's great. That's great. With all that, the next Honor Flight is in October. And that'll be published. We can actually bring that to your attention as we get closer to it. And you can be either joining us on the ride, or you can be standing on the side of the highway, or you can go to St. Kevin's and welcome all these people back into...
We talked to one man who said that you feel like your country's going down the tubes, and then you attend a function like this, and you see all the flags waving and the people and with their kids and everything, and you realize there is hope for America.
It is. And, Bob, we thank you so much for being here
and for
bringing the VITAS opportunity to our attention. We encourage everyone to participate in at least researching this and reaching out to your veteran family and friends. Again, we thank you for listening. Say thank you for your service to a vet today. It's D-Day. It's a day of remembrance. We'll see you next week, and I thank you for joining us.